Well, if you, we had to do it with whole numbers, like
all right,
$10,
okay,
$12. We did it for three different levels: 9, 10, and 12. If we go to $10 from $7.25, that would create a total increase in wages for all eligible persons of about $500 million. And so when you take that $500 million of new wages out of the economy, you take it from somewhere and put it into wages, it has effects on the rest of the economy. The principal effect is it shows up as increased prices of goods and services that Maryland residents would buy. It also ends up reducing employment and earnings. These not by great amounts.
But you put a number on those job losses, right?
Yeah, the first year it's about 4,000, I believe, and it accumulates to just under about 10,000 jobs lost by 2020. Again, comparing it to $7.25 versus $10. These may not sound like big numbers, but it doesn't create job growth. It creates some losses. Some of those are minimum wage workers because employers choose to pay. They have to pay more, some of their workers more money, and so they work them harder. Or they hire older workers. One of the strategies is to hire an older worker, pay them $10 an hour rather than a younger worker. They're more experienced. They can do more. So they get more work out of them. They don't need as many low-wage workers. And so there's some juggling within the economy. More importantly, I think it reduces the state's competitive position within the surrounding region. So competing with Virginia or Pennsylvania, Delaware, West Virginia, they would have lower minimum wages. And so Maryland residents may very well choose to do some of their shopping where the prices are lower. Surprisingly enough, some workers in those other states may come to work in Maryland to get higher wages and take their money home and pay taxes.
Steve, let me ask you this. Did you think the series of consequences that would come out of raising the minimum wage were more or less profound than what you would have thought?
I did not think the recipients of the minimum wage were as young a profile as they are. 79% are part-time workers. 62% are enrolled in school. Only 5% are married. And so, in a sense, a lot of the argument against doing this is that this is the first job for many people, and it's where they learn to work, and that they won't have that opportunity. The other consequence that surprised me, I guess maybe the most as an educator, is that where minimum wages have been raised other places, the completion rate in high school goes down because workers who are part-time workers don't finish their school. They have their head turned, in effect, by a higher wage, and they go to work. And later in their career, they find their wages are lower than they would have been otherwise because they're less educated and less skilled. So there are some consequences. It also, in Maryland, the forecast is that it would reduce population growth somewhat in the state because there would be fewer jobs and higher costs of living, and this has some effect on housing prices. None of these are big impacts. I mean, they won't bankrupt anybody or the state. It's that nobody talks about them, and I don't know that the governor's talked about the costs. I think the benefits have been well documented, and it's just fair to put both sides on the table and then let people decide for themselves.
Well, we're glad that you joined us to do just that. Stephen Fuller, economist at George Mason University.